The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you on this Sunday morning. In this half hour of the show, we'll be featuring, and this is world-famous stuff we're talking about over here, Rabbi Dr. Abraham Torsky is going to be speaking tonight at the Young Israel of Oak Park at 7:30. He's going to be talking about self-esteem, so we're going to be talking about self-esteem. We will be featuring a cappella music as we're still in the 3 weeks commemorating the destruction of the temples in Jerusalem. The portion of the week is the portion of Matas Masai, which is in the book of Numbers, chapter 30 through the end of the book of Numbers. We have hopefully a really dynamic Hasidic story at the end. But before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. A Jerusalem court acquitted former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert of charges of fraud, breach of trust, tax evasion, and falsifying corporate records. He was found guilty of one charge of granting personal favors while he was Israel's trade minister. Olmert is expected to appeal his conviction, which would carry a prison sentence. Israeli fighter pilots killed at least one terrorist and wounded three others in an airstrike in Gaza City. The strike came in response to numerous attacks on southern Israel by Hamas terrorists over the past week. The IDF arrested five wanted terror suspects in the West Bank. The suspects were turned over to security forces for further investigation. Details of charges have yet to be released. Israel condemned UNESCO's decision to establish a chair at the Islamic University of Gaza, calling that institution a breeding ground for terrorists, unquote. Earlier this month, UNESCO approved Bethlehem's Church of the Nativity as an endangered site. It's not endangered at all. The U.S. and Israel dismissed the move as cynical politicization of the cultural body. A spokesman for German Chancellor Angela Merkel said that Jews and Muslims will not be punished for breaking the law if they perform ritual circumcision on young boys. The statement came after a Cologne court ruled that the religious ritual would be considered a criminal act. In other European news, the synagogue of Nocy la Grande on Saint-Denis district in Paris was vandalized three times this week. Thieves ransacked the building, wrote anti-Semitic sayings on the walls, and stole two vacuum cleaners. Okay. In what has been termed a wildcat strike, two LL pilots did not show up for work to fly planes between St. Petersburg, Russia, and Tel Aviv. LL pilots are demanding that the airline executives reduce their own salaries commensurate with the reduction of pilot salaries and leave flying decisions to the pilots, which is generally a good idea, I guess. A union strike could come at any time. And some good news, in Israel, prices on a wide range of goods imported to Israel will be lowered after Israel cut import duties and taxes on electrical appliances, entertainment systems, and food imports. Finance ministry officials say they hope the tax cuts between 8 and 12% will significantly lower the cost of living for Israelis. An earthquake centered on the Greek Isle of Rhodes sent tremors that were felt from Tiberias to Beersheba. The Geophysics Institute of Israel said the earthquake in Greece registered 5.7 on the Richter scale, causing buildings in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv to shake. Very fascinating news. One of the largest gold treasures ever to be discovered in Israel was uncovered last week in an archaeological dig near Herzliya. They have these like students that come and do like lots of playing in the dirt over there. It was found by a college student. The treasure, more than 100 pieces of gold and weighing nearly a pound, is estimated to be worth at least $100,000. The coins were found hidden in a partially broken pottery vessel at the Apollonian National Park, where archaeologists say the former crusader town of Apollonia Arsuf stood in the 1300s. Germany agreed to provide restitution payments to an additional 80,000 Jews. The agreement is likely to result in additional payments of approximately $300 million, most of which will go to Nazi victims in the former Soviet Union who've never received restitution payments or compensation from previous German agreements. And finally, the U.S. Senate voted unanimously to award Raoul Wallenberg the Congressional Gold Medal, the highest civilian award given by the Congress. The vote is part of an effort to confer the honor upon Wallenberg in time for the 100th anniversary of his birth in August. The House unanimously approved the award of the medal in April. The measure now goes to President Obama to sign. And that's the news. You know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We have on live Dr. Abraham Tursky, who doesn't need any more introduction. You've been here a couple of times on our show. How are you today, Dr. Tursky?
Just fine, thank God.
Good to hear. We're going to be talking about self-esteem. And one of the questions that has, I don't know if this is in line with your talk that's coming up this evening, but that has interested me in the idea of a developed self-esteem is the difference, if there is a fine line or a large cavern between self-esteem and arrogance.
I don't think that there's two possible things that could be farther apart. They are poles apart.
Let's hear.
Now, I think we must define self-esteem. Self-esteem simply means for a person to have a true self-awareness, a true evaluation of oneself. Now, I'm not sure why this is so, but many people have feelings of inadequacy or inferiority, or that negative feelings about themselves that are not justified in reality. And essentially, it's a false belief. It's a delusion. It's almost the same kind of delusion, like if someone is psychotic and has a delusion that he is the emperor of China. That's a grandiose delusion. And this is a negative delusion. But what happens is that a person who feels inferior or inadequate, which is a very painful feeling, may take any of many steps in order to cope with that feeling, deny it, or whatever. And one of the things that one can do is is to insult other people or depreciate other people, giving oneself a feeling, I am better than they. So arrogance, which is usually tied in with vanity or narcissism, arrogance is very often a defense against one's feeling of low self-esteem. And if a person would be able to feel good about oneself, one would have no need to be arrogant.
Uh-huh. So you're saying is the classic line that a superiority complex is just the manifestation of an inferiority complex.
Exactly.
Indeed. So if we're going to talk about self-esteem, and have you ever met somebody that didn't have a self-esteem problem?
Truthfully, I think it's just a question of degree. But I think that in one way or another, everybody is tainted with a self-esteem problem. And one of the questions I have is, why? Of course, one of the reasons I am so interested in self-esteem problems is because I suffered from low self-esteem until age 38. I had no justification for it. My parents were wonderful. I was my father's favorite. I excelled in everything that I did. So the kinds of things that people will say, the reason this person has low self-esteem is because he was abused or neglected as a child or had a failure or was ill or whatever. I had none of those. And so I had to look for what is the reason why I had my low self-esteem. And that's why I think it's so universal, because it can happen even in the best of circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Was there some sort of epiphany at age 38 that you suddenly got, ta-da?
Oh, yes, there was an epiphany. What happened was that I went for vacation to Hot Springs, Arkansas, because after working 3 years in unbelievable stress as the director of psychiatry of a major hospital, where I had no day and no night, I needed a vacation where I was simply going to close my eyes and sit on an easy chair and breathe. No sightseeing, no nothing. And so I chose Hot Springs because there's nothing to do there.
Okay, fair enough.
And while I was there, I decided I'm going to take the bath, the mineral bath, for my low back pain. So the attendant took me into the little cubicle with the whirlpool. I got into the whirlpool, and wow, this was paradise. I couldn't be reached, not by any patient, no doctor, no family, no lawyer, no probation officer. Nobody could reach me. Finally, I'm free of all stress. And the warm water circling it around me. I mean, what could be better? After about 5 minutes, I got up, and the attendant says to me, "Where are you going, sir?" I said, "Well, I don't know. What do I do next?" He says, "Well, before you continue with the rest of the treatment, you have to stay in the tub for 25 minutes. I said, "Okay." So I went back, and after 5 minutes, I said, "Look, I got to get out of here."
You were bored at that point?
Right.
I can understand.
And then later, so I had to go back for 15 minutes, but it was 15 minutes of purgatory. And later on, I realized that I had had a rude awakening. I had taken 3 years of constant stress without a problem, but I could not take more than 5 minutes of paradise. Something was wrong. So when I came back home to Pittsburgh, I met with a psychologist friend of mine, and I told him about this rude awakening that I had. And he says, "Look, Abe, if you ask people what they do for relaxation, one person will say, 'Well, I like to play golf.' Another person will say, 'I like a good book, watch the television, or do some needlework.' They're all telling you what they do for relaxation, but relaxation is not doing anything. Relaxation is an absence of doing anything. What all these people are describing as relaxation is really something that diverts them. These are diversions. And so when you're diverting your attention to something, whether it's the golf ball or the needlework, you're not thinking about yourself." He says, "In that little whirlpool cubicle, they took away every possible diversion. There was nothing you could talk to, nobody to talk to, nothing to look at, nothing to read. Right? You were left in immediate company with yourself. Right? And obviously, you don't like yourself, and you couldn't stand yourself."
Wow.
That was the epiphany. I realized he was right. And from there on began the search. What am I really like? What is there about me that I despise so much that I can't stand myself? And there began the search for self-awareness, which has now continued till age 82, and I'm still doing it.
Okay, we're going to talk about that. I just have one question before we get into this more. It says that Moses was the humblest of all people, meaning that he understood that his position, but he reckoned that if God had spoken to somebody else at the bush and told him to go ask Pharaoh, that person would have done a better job.
Better than he did, right.
Is that low self-esteem when we say humble?
No, that's humble, because Moses was aware of his great powers, right? And he used them when necessary. Right? But he did not feel that this made him superior to any other person.
Oh, so a person has to really balance themselves between self-esteem and humility then.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Let's say a person now hearing your story and saying that if Dr. Rabbi Abraham Tversky, who is the author of how many books now, Dr. Tversky?
67
books, came to some kind of realization that he had a self-esteem problem. Where does that put me? What can I do now to work on my self-esteem? And I'm going to assume that just like everything else, people have to learn how to exercise their self-esteem.
The first thing that's important, you see, before I had this epiphany, right, I was a psychiatrist already for several years, and if anybody had asked me, "Do you really know yourself?" I would have said, "Of course, right? Of course I know myself." I had a self-image, which to me was very real, and I didn't realize that self-image was erroneous. So the first thing that a person has to do is to think, maybe I am incorrect about the way I think about myself. Just maybe, right? Maybe. Once you give that opening and the person then is willing to look at oneself, I think there's a way to correct the self-esteem problem. But it has to begin with maybe my current impression is not right.
Okay, that's a very hard thing for a person to do because, after all, I think I know myself better than anybody else.
Right. Right.
So,
that's where I was. Right? I was sure I knew I myself. But the self that I knew was not the real one.
Okay. So let's say a person has come up with a conclusion. I really am a very good person. I can do and I can accomplish lots of good things, and I do accomplish lots of good things. But there are things that sometimes, you know, for a lot of, I know here from a lot of people that I don't have this problem of like standing up in front of a group and speaking, for example, just absolutely puts people's into shakes and convulsions.
Right.
Because, you know, I've been trying to convince somebody for a month to come on my show. But he says, no, I'll freeze. And I'm talking to them on the phone for 20 minutes, like I'm talking to you on the phone for 20 minutes. And I said, you know, the 20 minutes I spent trying to convince you and you trying me, why not? We could have had the interview already. So where does self-esteem, what is a person supposed to do in times such as that, for example, Dr. Tursky?
Yeah. You see, you've touched upon a specific situation, which I think is triggered by self-esteem. For example, the person who has to speak before a group or any other performance may have this horrendous fear that he's going to say something wrong or he's going to fail or whatever, and he's going to be embarrassed. And what happens then is that physiologically, that feeling kicks off a physiological reaction, causing him almost a panic reaction with tremulous and breaking out in sweat and whatever. So the self-esteem serves as a trigger. Now, nobody likes failure. Right? Nobody wants to make a mistake. And it's very painful to make a mistake or to fail. But if a person has good self-esteem, he realizes, hey, wait a minute, a batter who bats 300 makes millions of dollars, and he makes out 7 out of 10 times. A failure and a mistake is not good, but it's not the worst thing in the world. I'll survive it. The person with a low self-esteem is terrified of a mistake because that'll confirm his worst feelings about himself. So he becomes anxious, whether it's in speaking or doing anything else, and may seek ways in which to either avoid any kind of situation where he may be embarrassed, or try to be perfectionistic, which is always self-defeating. So self-esteem, I think that I made the statement that if we just set aside those particular psychological problems that are basically physiologic, such as bipolar, and we deal with those which are really of psychological origin, low self-esteem is present in every one of them.
Okay. Now, Rabbi Dr. Avram Tursky, can we put a Jewish slant onto this? What does the Torah in Judaism say to dealing with self-esteem problems?
Well, first of all, I do want to point out that one of my lessons of self-esteem came from a verse in the Torah, which I think speaks right to it, where the Torah tells about Moses sending the spies to scout Canaan, and they came back with this statement. We saw giants there, and we appeared to them as grasshoppers, and that's how we felt about ourselves. And that statement says, the way you feel about yourself is the way you assume that other people see you. That's a perfect self-esteem statement. Now, what Judaism has to say about self-esteem is that I get up in the morning, and one of the first things that I say is, God, the soul that you have put in within me is pure. And I have to realize the basis of my existence is a pure soul, a soul which is of divine nature, meaning it has almost infinite possibilities. That's the reality. Now, for whatever reasons, I have not implemented or exercised all of those feelings, all of those abilities that I have. But I have been created with great abilities. And since I don't believe in accidents, I am here on Earth because I have a purpose. So this goes back to something else about Judaism and probably to other religions as well. If we assume, there was no God, there was never a creation. Well, how did the world come about? Well, umpteen billions of years ago, there was this freak reaction where somehow energy turned into matter and formed atoms and molecules. And over trillions of years, evolution produced man. Well, that's a little far-fetched, but that's what some people believe. However, if that is the case, then if the universe is a result of a freak accident, it was never created with a purpose. It happened, that's all. It could have not happened, but it happened. Well, if the whole universe is purposeless, it's almost meaningless for me to think that I have an ultimate purpose in my existence when the whole world doesn't have a purpose. And my example to that is the story that I like to tell of two vagrants who were picked up for loitering. and they were brought before the judge. The judge asked the first guy, what were you doing when the officer arrested you? He said, nothing. And he turns to the second guy and said, what were you doing? He points and he says, I was helping him. You know, if you're helping someone who's doing nothing yourself. If the whole world has no existence, purpose for its existence, I'm very hard-pressed to see how I can find a real meaning that's going to give myself value for existence. And if I don't have real value for existence, you know, that's the worst factor for low self-esteem.
Okay, but being that we don't adhere to such a philosophy, we believe that the world was created, we believe 5,772 and a half years ago, and was created with purpose, and each one of us has a purpose then. So right. that then becomes our modus operandi for getting us up in the morning and getting us through the day, correct?
Right.
Okay, terrific. So I was so enthralled with what you were saying, I forgot what my next question was. Anyway, so let's practice now, so we can have a couple of minutes left in this segment. Someone comes to you or other qualified psychologist and says, "I believe that I'm facing problems with my self-esteem, and it's getting in the way, and I really think I could be doing, but I'm having problems." What coaching lessons would you give them? In other words, what can our listeners take away today, Dr. Tursky, that maybe they might be able to practice at home?
Well, there are such things that can be done. First of all, again, if he comes with that realization, he's 50% on the way to the goal, because he's willing to realize that there's something the way he feels about himself that needs correction. And that's, you know, 50% of the cure. If he's really willing to realize, then we have to have, okay, now you're going to have to do a sincere self-assessment, which isn't always easy to do by oneself, because we have blind spots and we don't see many of our defects, which makes it so much easier if one can do a self-awareness or self-assessment with someone else. Doesn't necessarily have to be a board-certified psychologist or psychiatrist. It could be a good friend who's interested in helping. And there are some self-help books on self-esteem. Nathaniel Brandon is the person who, out in California, who started this whole psychology of self-esteem. And he has some books and some tapes can be very helpful. There's others who've written on self-esteem. I wrote a book on 10 Steps to Being Your Best. And one can do, at least begin to work on self-esteem. And if one feels that they need more progress, then I think they ought to go to a therapy. And I think that one of the best things for self-esteem in therapy is not one-to-one therapy, but a good group therapy. Group seems to be much more effective for self-esteem problems than one-to-one. However, people will insist, no, I got to talk to, I can't talk in a group. And it's a serious mistake, because the group has many advantages for self-esteem.
That's a lot of self-explanatory, because if you present yourself into a group, it already bolsters your self-esteem trying to present yourself to them. Understood. Okay, our guest today has been Rabbi Dr. Abraham Tversky. We've been talking about self-esteem. And have you any new books coming out in the near future, Dr. Tversky?
I just published a new book about a month ago entitled Forgiveness, which I think is an important book because it's a topic that is poorly understood.
Okay.
And people suffer from carrying grudges and resentments.
Okay, and that's published by whom?
Published by Art School Misora.
Okay, terrific. Okay, well, look forward to that. Maybe we'll have you back on sometime really soon. Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Tursky.
My pleasure.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We'll do some PSAs. First of all, tonight, the Council of Rabbis, Orthodox Rabbis of Greater Detroit, together with Project Noam, will present Self-Esteem, the Universal Ingredient, with Rabbi Dr. Abraham Twersky, Enhancing Self-Esteem Through Life's Stages. That's at the Young Israel of Oak Park, which is located on 10 Mile near Greenfield, east of Greenfield, at 7:30 tonight. And I don't believe there is a charge. I don't see anything that says charge, so I believe that it is free of charge. I have another thing coming up, the national celebration of the 12th Siyum HaShas of Daf Yomi. Let's say that in English. There is something called the Talmud, which is a little less than 2,100 pages long. And there are people who study it a page, a little more than 2,100 pages long. And people study it a page a day, which is when you say, what's a big deal, a page a day? A page a day takes about an hour, generally. And it takes them about 7 years to finish the entire Talmud. So this is the 12th time through for people who are doing this. I don't think there's anybody who's done it all 12 times. That would make them 107 right there from that, 108. But this is going to be Wednesday, August 1st. At the Berman Center in West Bloomfield, and it'll be like an international hookup with people in New York at, this is at the Brendan Byrne Arena, it's like Giant Stadium. They're going to be hooked up to, and we'll be participant, and I'll have speakers here. It's $10 for men or women. General admission, $35 for family of children ages 11 and up. Children under 11 are advised only if they can keep quiet. And JCC Jerusalem Pizza is 10% off anybody who has a ticket for the event, so you can get something to eat afterwards. Yes, and that's August 1st. For more information, where do you go? I guess call the JCC in West Bloomfield, 624-861-1000. Does your organization have an event sometime in the very near future? Well, drop me a line at rabbifinman.com. Let me know the details of it. And we'll announce it here for you because we do public services for the community, and that's called a public service announcement. We got time for some music now. This is the music section of the portion. We have stuff that came in this week, some new a cappella. I'm holding now, recently de-shrink-wrapped. This is a cappella 5. Also, I suppose it's a.k.a. Pella, so it's a cappella, also known as Pella. This, yes. Song is intended for humorous. This is called Yalili. And it's a cappella. Anyway, during the production of this song.
Country Asi, Ashkenazi, Esra Esra, Osifaradi, Marlboro Reds, Ashkenazi, Smoking Hookah, Osifaradi, Toyota Camry, Ashkenazi, Maserati, Osifaradi.
Hey, that's only the Syrians.
Ashkenazi,
sufficient yapsha ashkenazi lahmaji mekibbe o sefardi for lechayim ashkenazi hen the party o sefardi I got a goita ashkenazi got a chedeme o sefardi
dude again that's only the series
yala yala yali
Goldberg, Weiss.
Ashkenazi, exciting last names. Sephardi, sitting down with Oprah. Ashkenazi, skin like a chofra. Oh, Sephardi.
The city is mamish days. It needs shame. Hey, so why?
Get that old garagish.
Oh, Sephardi.
Zach is in. Catch you later.
Ashkenazi.
Chiropractic healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-HI-HI.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Hey, Shulfin, and here you're listening to the Jewish Hour. Let's do some more of this wonderful acapella. This is a new group. We got two new groups coming up next. These are coming to us from mostlymusic.com and also jewishjukebox.com. This is called Acapella Soul, and we played this before actually the release of it. It's called Hashem Loves You, and I guess God loves you too.
Reality behind me is burning. your streets, I've walked your gutters. No minimum wage and no insurance. I'm the one you never see, the one you never notice.
Frank Lovasco with Lovasco Concrete Services. We specialize in driveways and patios. You can call me at 586-822-9985.
Herschel Fittman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. That was actually the Y Studs misplaced because the CD from the Acapella Soul was misplaced, but we've now found it. So for your listening pleasure, this is Hashem Loves You.
Sometimes you're feeling down, things haven't gone your way, so you're looking all around to find someone who'll save the day. It's one place you can turn, he'll never turn you back. When you look to Hashem, you're always back on track. 'Cause Hashem loves you, you're his greatest pride. Yes, Hashem loves you, he's always by your side. You can see it too, all the good you have inside. It's up to you, all you need is to decide. Na 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 na.
You know, it's no matter what you do,
no matter what you do,
those things are attached to the love Hashem will show to you. Just gotta hold on tight, put your trust in Him, keep your head held tight, let your soul just start to sing. The Hashem loves you, you're His greatest pride. It's the Hashem loves you, He's always by your side.
A different walk with confidence in your stride. When you think of Hashem's love and you know you're always on His mind, there's a light you've got to shine.
Got
a job
shine.
No one else can do.
No one else can.
Hashem's giving you the tools. Now the rest comes down to you. 'Cause Hashem loves you.
Hashem,
yes,
loves
you're His greatest prize. Oh, Hashem loves you.
Hashem
He's
loves
always
you.
By your side. That good you got inside, it's up to you. All you need is to decide.
There's a Hashem love you.
Yes, Hashem loves you.
You're His greatest pride.
There's a Hashem
love you.
Hashem loves
you. He's always by your side.
You can see it too.
All the good you have.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
You know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile.
Hey, Shul Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Matos Masai, which is found at the end of the book of Numbers. We'll be finishing Numbers this week. Thank you very much. The beginning of the portion talks about vows, and the next thing immediately thereafter talks about the war against the Midianites. Now, there is a general philosophy in Torah exegesis that the order in which the Torah comes is also Torah. Meaning to say, there's a reason why things are put in the order that they are. They are not, the Torah has no chronology, pretty much none whatsoever, and there's all the book of Numbers is totally written out of order. So it's not because this happened before that, because the portion dealing with vows was taught at Sinai some 40 years before the war against the Midianites, which happens right after. So there's all kinds of things that happen in between, which have already been recounted. So that's not the reason. There has to be some sort of intrinsic connection between adhering to vows and the war against the Midianites. Judaism, we take vows, making vows very seriously. To the extent that if a person were to say, I'll be there at 3:30, if they're there at 3:31, they have not kept their vow. Now, this might sound a little OCD to you, or like over the top, but a person should be very careful with what comes out of their mouths. And usually what I'll say are things like, you have to put in caveats, God willing, I'll be there at 3:30, or I'll be there around 3:30. Hopefully, I'll be there around sometime around 3:30. Something along that line, which softens this expectation, you might say. And usually when I say I'll be there at 3:30, I'm usually there at 3:25, wondering where is everybody else. The need for doing this comes in lieu of the possibility of violating the third commandment of not taking God's name in vain. Because if a person says, I'll be there at 3:30, that is very, very close to a person saying, I swear by the Almighty that I will be there at 3:30. Even though they did not say it in that terminology, it still could be construed in that form. So we are very careful about the idea of taking vows. It's very interesting that if a person has made a vow, so a person says, I'm never going to eat cake. Okay, I'm taking a vow, I'm never going to eat cake. And then suddenly realizes that he really, really, really wants to eat cake. Or there are situations which eating cake would be advantageous. I can't think of any. Eating cake, I could eat it anytime. It'd be an advantage as far as I'm concerned. It's like my doctor told me I should watch my weight, and I have been going up. So this person then, what does he do? What does he have to do? It says he has to get three people together. He can either go to one rabbi who's familiar with the laws of taking vows, or to go to three simple people, three anybody's off the street, and say to them, I took a vow, and had I known that it was going to be so hard to keep it, I never would have kept the vow. And then these three simple people would be able to say, you're absolved, you're absolved, you're absolved, and he no longer has to keep this vow. This is not hocus pocus. This is the way it's done. Keep this all in mind. We're now going to talk about the war against the Midianites. The Midianites, as you may recall from 2 weeks ago in the portion of Balak, waged a war against the Jewish people for no reason. The Jews were going west. The Midianites were living east. The Jews had no intention of conquering their land. And the Midianites, based on simple, unwarranted prejudice, bigotry, and hatred, anti-Semitism, decided that they needed to attack the Jews. We've talked many times that all the characters mentioned in the Bible and all the nations mentioned in the Bible refer not to some historical figure only, but allude to our own persona. And it's been discussed here that Midian is that aspect of us that just doesn't get along with other people. And so we were told to eradicate Midian because there is no place in a person's persona to hate other people. So now, let's connect the two together. The bottom line is that the Almighty wants us to get along. As the commandment says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And there may be things which are opposing as obstacles that we have ourselves have put up. If we want to call them a vow, call them not a vow, just a theory, a philosophy. But we should know that the Almighty has made it easy for us that if a person, for some reason, is not getting along with another person, probably it's because of a miscommunication, and they need to communicate with that person. They need to get rid of their own Midian and absolve their own shortcomings, put it all together. And then we come to the last line in the book of Numbers. States, I'm flipping up the page just here, just a second, bear with me. Says, I want to quote it just. One more page. I should have had it ready there. Here it is. These are the mitzvahs and the commandments that God commanded by the hands of Moshe to the children of Israel in the plains of Moab on the Jordan, by the Jordan near Jericho, meaning right before the Jews are going to cross into the land and achieve their perfection. This is what they're told to do. Get along with other people. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Are you looking for a dentist that can meet all your family's needs? Dr. Gary Cohen is a dentist that's been serving the community for 20 years. Bleaching, veneers, crowns, dentures, bridges, checkups, extractions, everything. He does it all. Dr. Cohen will see emergencies immediately and same-day appointments always available. Dr. Cohen wants dental care to be affordable. He has interest-free payment plans and takes most dental insurances, including Medicaid for children. Dr. Gary Cohen provides the highest quality care with the gentlest touch in a relaxing setting. How do I know? Gary Cohen's my dentist. Call Gary Cohen today for a free consultation and smile that shines at 734-422-5480. That's 734-422-5480.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? www.rabbifinman.com, RABBIFINMAN.com is the best way to do it. Go there on the homepage. There's a little link that says Contact Rabbi Finman, and you'll contact me, and I'll contact you, and we'll be good buddies. There's also archived editions of the show, archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, and Hasidic U-Story, which are insights into the portion of the week in Hasidic stories that you will not hear here on the Jewish Hour. And, of course, the very important donations page. The Jewish Hour is listener-sponsored and supported by you, and we appreciate all that you've done till now. And if you haven't done anything yet, now's the time. We're in the 3 weeks. People are trying to get along. It says that the second Beis HaMikdash, was the second temple, was destroyed because people weren't getting along with each other. So get along with everybody else. People will appreciate the fact that the Jewish Hour is still on by you clicking on the donation page, clicking the button of your choice, and donating early and often. Do that today. We got a couple of minutes here for the Hasidic story. A woman came to Elimelech of Lizhansk, and she claimed, you're talking in the late 1700s, and she said her son is very sick. Could he pray for her? And he said, you don't need my prayers. He says, this is what you do. You go home, your son is going to be even sicker. Now, the local landowner is going to have a big party, and there's going to be three big doctors visiting from Vienna. And they are going to, you go tell them your son is sick and that they should come visit. They're going to come visit, and they're going to be able to say, we don't know what's wrong with him. They're going to leave. On the way out, one of them is going to trip. And as he's being picked up by his two associates, he's going to recall that there is something that can help. He's going to prescribe a medicament, an apothecary. You will take the prescription, have it filled. Your son will get better. At that point, when your son is better, you will then go to my brother, Reb Zusha of Anapoli, and explain what happened to him. So this woman went, and her son was not a follower of Hasidic. He thought the whole Hasidic stuff was a bunch of bunk and didn't believe in all this predicary stuff. But the events happened as they were prescribed, and he got better. And on his way to Anapoli, he stopped off in Lizhansk, and the Rebbe said, Elimelech said, did you fulfill everything? He said, I'm on my way to Anapoli. He says, please send my regards. When they pulled into Anapoli, they're walking down the street, and this person came over to him and said, Simcha, it's such a pleasure to see you. Come to my house. So he says, I'm sorry, who are you? He says, well, my name is Zusha. So he understood already that even though this person had never met him before, he was enough of an insight into the Torah and the workings of the world to understand that this was the famed Reb Zusha of Anapoli. And he told him, you must be having problems in some learning, right? And he said, yeah. So this person was, by the way, Simcha of Babraka, which Babraka is a city many miles east of Grosse Pointe Farms. So he said, I can take care of that. He said, come with me to the mikveh, to the immersion pool. And he said, make sure that you go into the water while I'm still there. And this Reb Zusha, he could go into the water. He'd hold his breath for a real long time. And this came person, he immersed himself, he came out, then immediately went to the study hall and saw that all of his problems were gone. And he became an ardent follower of Reb Zusha. That's the story. That's the show. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit, educate you a bit. We hope to see you back again next week, and we hope you have a great week. Take care.
Just because I'm losing doesn't mean I'm lost. Doesn't mean I'll stop. Doesn't mean I'm in a cross. Just because I'm hurting doesn't mean I'm hurt. Doesn't mean I didn't get it.